the high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be, across this great land of ours, beyond the borders, actually, in the west from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. Thanks to Broadcast.com and Intel with streaming video. And of course, you can get the audio of the program, well, all over the world. And now you can actually get the video of the program all over the world, too. All you have to do is go to my website, www.artbell.com. Download the amazing G2 player. It is free. Yes, there is a version you can spend some money on if you want to. But the basic version of G2 is free. And then come back to my website, and lo and behold, there I'll be doing my video, doing the program. It's really wild. We thought we had a glitch tonight and that we would not be able to bring you free video. Streaming video, free streaming video, but we are. A miracle occurred just before airtime, and voila, there it is. So tonight, like every night, you can go up there and see me do the program, for whatever that's worth. All right, what's going on tonight? Well, there's a lot going on. Check this out. The chief executive of the European Union, and brace yourself, 19 other senior officials abruptly resigned early Tuesday after an investigative panel allegedly found cronyism, financial irregularities in their ranks. Ooh. It marked the first time in the group's 42-year history that the European Commission, which runs the day-to-day affairs of the powerful trading bloc, had stepped down under fire. The action would be roughly equivalent to the entire U.S. cabinet resigning at once. That's serious stuff. There's a lot of strange stuff in the news. Not so strange, Gephardt has decided he's going to back Gore in his presidential bid in 2000. I don't know, what do you think about Al Gore for 2000? Gephardt actually hugged him. That sight you wouldn't want to miss, Gephardt hugging Gore. Now, GOP Senator Chafee is retiring. John Chafee from Rhode Island announced he will not come back to office, will not look for re-election in 2000. Been a lot of them doing that. A new public private alliance to curb internet crime will teach children that hacking is the same as breaking and entering. Attorney General Reno said today it's among three initiatives under the Cyber Citizen Partnership, a government and high-tech industry alliance to promote cyberspace ethics and law enforcement. Sorry. I've been around the internet now too long to think that this is going to change hacking or anything, really. Ethics and law enforcement on the internet? Please. Two interesting pieces of medical news. In a dramatic advance, researchers have found an enzyme that helps build the blood vessels that feed the growth of cancer tumors. Ooh, researchers report finding on the surface of cells inside blood vessels ATP synthesis. The enzyme apparently provides the energy for the growth of blood vessels. No blood, no growth. You choke off the blood, obviously, and a tumor cannot grow. In fact, without such energy, he said, tumors can never grow beyond the size of a pinhead. Wow. And then this, tears, saliva, and the urine of pregnant women all contain proteins that are potent killers of HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. Apparently a scientist has isolated a protein called, and I'm going to slaughter it, isome, and found that it was able to kill the AIDS virus quickly in test tube experiments. There's going to be a big report tomorrow in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, we're going to have Dr. Lorraine Day on in the next hour, and if you have never heard Dr. Day's story, you're in for some kind of amazing treat tonight. There is a photograph of the good doctor on my website that you must see. She had cancer so horrible. I have never, of course, I'm not big on viewing cancer patients, but I was a medic in the Air Force, and I have never seen a tumor the size of Dr. Day's tumor. It was truly something out of the movie Alien. I mean, it was horrible, horrible. And she cured herself of cancer. And so she's going to be here talking about a lot of things. She wrote me a very interesting fax, and that's what caused me to have her on. You remember when Richard had his heart attack? She wrote, there's a line here that, let's see, she said, certainly we do know that the government and other sinister agencies have fantastically shall I begin again? The government and other sinister agencies have fantastically diabolical abilities to cause deaths. As they say, quote, anyone can cause a murder, but it takes an expert to cause a natural death. Nevertheless, that being said, she's going to be here to talk about cancer and heart disease and a lot of other killers that she claims you can cure yourself of. That's right, cure yourself of. Well, AT&T's Telstar 401 satellite has gone belly up. Telstar 401 failed abruptly Saturday morning, interrupting service to all nine broadcasters on that system. The failure at 6:15 a.m. Eastern did not seriously hamper operation for the broadcasters because none were on the air at the time. AT&T immediately restored those customers whose contracts call for uninterrupted service by transferring their signals to Telstar 402R. Now, the buzz that I'm getting is that a geomagnetic storm on the sun caused the early demise of Telstar 401. Now, that's not written in stone, but that's what people are saying, that it was the sun, and that certainly would coincide with a major flare, which we had, no question about that. We did have a big flare. We had a whopper. And I'm really looking for some help out there on this next item, which is related. Here it is. I had a fax last week from the first officer of a major airline, 737, who said, hey, Art, we fly into Minneapolis-St. Paul every night, during the week, every night. And when we were up tonight, this was last week now, the entire sky was lit up with northern lights. He said, the whole sky. And he said that he had a tingling all over his skin that he couldn't account for, and there was some disorientation, and that his pilot had felt the same thing. Now, bear in mind, this is at about 33,000 feet, approaching Minneapolis-St. Paul. And yes, we were, again, having a big geomagnetic storm, but he said he felt tingling, kind of like when you're out in the sun and you're being irradiated, right? Being irradiated, except it's at night. Yes, northern lights everywhere, but the sun is not out. Or, in a sense, is it? Now, I've never heard of anything like that before. I talked to a friend of mine who worked actually for the airlines, and he said, well, it could happen. And then I got about a dozen more from pilots, all saying roughly the same thing. And then I got one from this pilot, a cargo pilot, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit. Art Bell, I am a cargo pilot that flies a route over Illinois, Iowa, and South Dakota every weekday night. I've been told by my company not to speak to the media about any accidents, unusual situations, or environmental issues. I feel my life may be at stake due to conditions I experienced while flying last night. I decided that it is time to ask for help and speak out. I, too, witnessed the Northern Light display and had the same physical effects that you described by the first officer of a major airline. Today, when I woke up, I looked in the mirror, and my face, neck, and hands are beet red. I have white circles around my ears from my headsets covering my skin. I'm going to go see the doctor early next week, that would be now, to find out some answers. I sometimes worried about dying in an airplane crash. Now, I worry about dying from the environment that I fly through every night. What's going on? Please get some people on this issue. Well, I wouldn't know who to get on this issue. I would only know to put the information out and let others respond. All right, I'm going to take care of a break here, and then when I come back, I've got a whole bunch more interesting stuff coming up. Again, Dr. Lorraine Day at the top of the hour, and I will locate that photograph for you. I'll go take a look at my own website and see where Keith put it, but this is a photograph. It's just a simple must-see before the program. If you have a computer, you're going to want to get up there, believe me. All right, couple items. One from a listener in Charlotte, North Carolina. And maybe it's not the same everywhere, or maybe it is. I haven't checked. Art, just to let you know that there's no way to get an electric generator here in Charlotte, North Carolina, far as I can tell. Yesterday, Sunday, I went out looking to buy a generator for emergencies, my first stop at a large home supply store, Lowe's, and I was told by an employee there they didn't have any in stock, but to check back in another week or so. I'm not sure he knew this to be a fact. So I continued on to their competitors, Home Depot, where I couldn't get any definitive answer on when or even if they would get in any time soon. From there, I went to the nearest mall department store near Sears, asked the salesman in hardware whether or not they had any generators. His answer was that they hadn't had any in stock for the last 6 months, wouldn't get any more for at least 6 more months, was told the government had acquired all the stock to send down south to the victims of the hurricane, and then my best chance to find one was at a smaller private hardware store, so I drove over to a local hardware store and inquired once again, sure, we can order you a generator. We don't have any in stock because people are buying them for Y2K, but I can call an order in if you'd like. Are you sure you can do that? I asked. Yeah, no problem, he said. I know we had one in here a week ago that a customer had ordered as I browsed the different models in the catalog. He was on the phone with the distributor. He looked at me and said, oops, sorry, but apparently the distributor cannot fulfill any order requests for at least a year. I turned around and went home thankful that I already at least had bought my Beijin with a light. Thanks for illuminating me on the necessity of preparedness. Eric in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I don't know if that's something that is universal. I've made no inquiries myself. I have no idea. I did have a gentleman on the air last week, you'll recall, who distributed for one of the nation's biggest generator folks, and he said, no way. You can't get them. This is interesting. Associated Press, the European Central Bank, on top of other problems they're having, wants to limit the risks of the millennium bug wreaking havoc in the European Union's banking system by making the upcoming New Year's Eve a special holiday. a special holiday, a banking holiday. The ECB president said he planned to close the European system of central banks December 31st, a Friday, to ensure that its information systems are fully prepared for any problems. That's interesting, isn't it? Because they've already been testing, they say, then why would they need to do this? He went on to say it would be more efficient if all member states declared December 31st, 99, a bank holiday. So that, to the president of the EU Council of Foreign Finance Ministers, I wonder if he's still even there. The letter was dated March 10th, but released Monday. Bank testing for the Millennium Bug is being carried out and will continue in the run-up to 2000, but he noted, quote, no matter how detailed the testing is, it simply is not possible to give a 100% guarantee that nothing will go wrong. So, there you have it. They're testing, but they still want the day off on Friday. Now, I can give the following story no weight whatsoever beyond reading it to you. There was somebody who called my show about a week ago and said, the government art is ordering 25 million body bags. I said, really? Yep. And everybody wanted a follow-up, and there was none. This is just something somebody said, you know? A caller. But then I did get this email, so I'll read it to you. The mention of the order for 25 million body bags left my husband and myself very disturbed. Well, it's something worth getting disturbed over, isn't it? 25 million body bags. What would the government want those for? So I decided to check into it myself and found a company that advertises body bag manufacturer for the emergency and medical industry. Thought you'd be interested to hear the comment the company sent me. Subject, body bag information. Date, from so-and-so to so-and-so. Melody writes, I heard on the radio last night that the U.S. government had ordered 25 million body bags from a body bag company last month. Was it from your company, or are there others? Answer, subject, body bag information. Addressed to Melody. I regret I cannot comment on this. That was the answer from the body bag company. I regret I cannot comment on this. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Well, Art, exactly what it says. I can't comment on this.
So, I have no way of knowing if this is legit or not. It looks like legit email, but I mean, you never know. I mean, what would they do with 25 million body bags anyway? Does give you a case of chicken skin, though, doesn't it? All right. The next half hour will be devoted to open lines, anything goes talk radio. By the way, just got word that our Vancouver affiliate, CFUN, is going to begin carrying the show at 8 o'clock at night. That's the 50,000-watt CFUN in Vancouver. Beginning Wednesday, you can hear the show at 8 o'clock. Check it out. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Perhaps like generators, Beijing radios are kaput. They are sold out right now. Can't get one for love or money, but you can order one for mid-April delivery. That's all you can do. And I can't tell you what's going to happen to the date after that. Mid-April delivery for the Beijing crank radio with a light. Otherwise, you might want to consider Real Talk. Now, this is the talk radio person's best friend. Why? It's an AM-FM radio, digital, stands tall and proud, black in color.
That is one funny commercial, I'll tell you. Big cruise ship. Ditch him. Peel out. Well, that's a great series of commercials. Just a great series.
All right. Dr. Lorraine Day at the top of the hour. Go to my website. Trust me on this one. Scroll down into the guest area. By the way, you'll see a gigantic guest listing of what we have coming up. And Dr. Lorraine Day is there. You've got to see the photograph of the tumor that she beat. I mean, it's just, as I said the last time we did a show, it's unbelievable. We'll ask her about some of these new mainstream medical advances in cancer and AIDS, because she knows about both cancer and AIDS. She worked at one of the largest hospitals in San Francisco and had to resign. She'll tell you all about it. 25 million body bags. No generators. Must mean something. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. No, you're not. I didn't push the button. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, how you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good. I just wanted to confirm that that report about not being able to get a generator in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, are you in Charlotte?
Well, I'm outside of Charlotte. But my wife and I also looked for generators at Home Depot, and also at our local hardware store. The Ben Franklin type wood burning stove.
Sure.
The man told us there's no way we're ever going to get one of those anytime soon.
Really?
People are buying them up for Y2K.
Really?
Yeah. I have a question for you. You had a guest on. It was probably about 2 years ago, and the man's son was in a rock band called
Iron Butterfly.
Right. And they said they were developing a way to communicate with low-level gravity waves or something like that. And I was wondering, is there any follow-up to that at all?
No. As far as I know, he's still missing. There's been no change.
Yeah.
That's the best of my knowledge. Now, there could have been something that I perhaps didn't hear of, but I'm sure I would have.
Yeah. I'd really like to hear that man again. That was fascinating, the technology they were working on.
Oh, yes. Very advanced math and very, very interesting stuff, and he just disappeared. It's true. If I hear anything, I'll let you know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Eric.
Hello.
This is Andrew calling from now Oak Harbor, Washington.
Hi, Andrew.
Just finished moving today.
Yes, sir.
Anyways, I had a couple of answers for you.
Okay.
Usually
it's questions, so answers are nice.
Yeah. you had been wondering for a while, you know, about that whole thing with Danny and Brinkley and comparing him to, you know, the
Sarah.
Other lady.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah, who had the went going to hell NDE. Sarah on the way home from church.
Right. Now, my first hypothesis is that experience that they had in their lives were what was needed for them to move to their next level.
Yeah, well, that's easily said, but still it doesn't seem right.
That's the first one. And then the second one I thought of was just sort of, just the idea that... I can't think.
Now you've forgotten it. Something this profound and important.
Oh, yes. I got it back.
Yes, okay.
Okay. That they would hopefully spread the word of their story and that their story would help someone else.
Well, that's why I had them on the air.
Yeah.
But it's still, I appreciate it, but it does not answer the question. I accept your first as one possibility, but... I mean, you take somebody who had a very, very bad life, was an abysmal little bastard, and he goes to crystal cities and sees people with beards and white gowns and
is given a look at the future, and you take somebody who's been very, very good, was bicycling her way home after doing volunteer work at the church, gets hit, knocks 60 feet, and goes straight to hell without passing go. If you ever get a chance to listen to Sarah's NDE, it's really worth listening to, and it's still up on my website. Check it out. It'll give you... I'm somehow enamored of this word, phrase lately. Chicken skin. It definitely will give you that. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art, I'm sorry. How are you this evening?
Fine. Extinguish your radio.
Okay. Clear on the other side of the room.
Well, we'll wait.
Okay. Yes, sir, I had a question. The other day when you were talking to Ed Dames,
yes,
he was talking about, I believe, North Korea planning a nuclear strike.
Yes.
And perhaps South Korea doing a preemptive strike.
He talked about North Korea using the first nuke in anger. I don't know anything about a preemptive strike.
Okay, because I was curious about that, and if there was any time of a timeline he set down for that.
Well, yes. What he said was that that attack would occur before the kill shot from the sun, what he calls the kill shot from the sun. However, in this last program, he's not as sure of the timeline and whether one will occur before the other. Timelines with remote viewing are the most difficult of all to nail down. So there you are. Best answer I can give you. He hedged a little bit about the timeline. It could be the kill shot comes first. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, good evening, Art. This is your best friend north of the Rockies, listening to you on 660 AM, the heartbeat of Alaska, KFAR.
That's north of the Rockies, all right. Man, I should have a north of the Rockies line.
Yeah, you should. You do now.
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to shoot, I've been trying to get through to you for quite a while, actually, since several years ago. And then just this past week, you piqued my interest again. One of my favorite dreamlands you ever had wasn't when you had any particular guest on, but you just had a number of mothers call in and talk about their relationship with their children. And that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago already. And it was just the maternal relationship that only a mother could know with her children. And then
you've got a really good memory, because I don't remember that.
Oh, it was fascinating. It was on Sunday afternoon in the summertime. I remember I was out working on my truck. And it was probably about 4 years ago already.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could, and that was on a Mother's Day, actually.
Oh.
That was the reason for it.
Yes, yes, yes. Now I remember.
So anyway, yeah, I would just like to know if you'd be up to doing another show like that, and it sounds very similar to the subject that you were discussing about a week or two ago then, too.
Well, it wasn't a week or two ago. It was last week, and I'm still in the middle of it. And that is children who are saying things that they ought not be saying. 2, 3, or 4-year-olds, or even younger, who are obviously spouting off things about another life. And I'm still seeking an appropriate guest on that subject. I get them every day now, every single day now. Statements like, I remember when I was the mommy and you were the baby. Stuff like that. And a lot more chilling. Stuff that could only be said by a child who'd been around once or twice before, if you follow me. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. What's going on?
You, at the moment.
Yeah, great. Right. Just had a little guess that maybe at Daniel Brinkley and at Sarah, those two stories.
Yes.
Maybe what they saw was what they avoided or what they're missing out on. You know, Daniel living the way he lived, miss out on all that good. And
well, why would Daniel be given information on about so much of the future, you know, what was going to happen?
Oh, probably because my series screwed up. Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought he was shown just a bunch of good stuff. I didn't catch that he was given information about the future.
Daniel should have seen the guy with horns. He should have seen coal. Lots of people tossing coal into giant furnaces, about 1,000,000 degrees. all of that.
See, I never get through to your show. This time I get through and look what happened.
Well, that's all right. Next time it'll be a lot easier for you.
All right.
All right?
Take care, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art. How's it going?
Fine.
Anyway, I just thought I'd make a comment about the body bags. My personal opinion, I think the government might be just preparing for the worst.
With regard to what?
Well, you remember the L.A. riots, how when Rodney King, you know, got kind of screwed over there. Maybe they're just preparing for the worst. Perhaps they're planning, thinking that there's going to be riots.
Well, I'm not saying that this is accurate information at all. I really am not. By the way, there's a million things running around on the Internet right now about American concentration camps, too. Oh, you ought to see all the stories. So you get that from time to time, concentration camps in America, and then you usually get a body bag story. But this one seems rather persistent. That's why I made mention of it, 25 million.
And a question for you, Art. With this Y2K, all the upgrades that people are doing to their computer systems and whatnot, is it possible that the government might have some kind of hidden agenda with that? I do believe Y2K, we're going to have problems, but with all the upgrades that everybody's doing to their computers, is it possible that maybe the government's wired in somehow to all the computers, like everybody, so where they can view what you do on your screen? Perhaps they cannot interact with your computer files, but they could view from wherever, just as a method for, like, say, the IRS.
Mm. Well,
they can check out your stuff. And
Big Brother, it's a Big Brother kind of thing, right?
Yeah, they can convict you before anything ever really happens, before you know it.
Well, this is the charge they're making against the Intel's Pentium 3. But the fact of the matter is, you can turn that function off so that if you don't want that kind of communication going on between your computer and another, you can turn it off. They recognize the privacy issue. So I don't know. It could be. Who am I to say? Who am I to say? But I think a lot of this is urban myth. The body bags might be urban myth. The concentration camps might be urban myth. What if they're all true? Maybe the body bag story and the concentration camp story go together. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Chris from Spokane.
Hey, Chris.
KGA.
Of course, the monster, 1510.
1510. Hey, back in January, you had a guest on. You guys were talking about ghost pictures or angel pictures.
Yes, I have many of both.
And he was talking about a picture that he saw in Spokane of an angel. And I believe I have a copy, or maybe actually it was a picture of that angel. And I sent it down to Keith, and I don't know if I'm sending it correctly or not.
Well, I don't know whether you are either. Send it to webmaster at artbell.com.
I put it under the best angel picture ever. So if you're looking for it, and I believe it's the same one he's talking about.
Yeah, you know what, though? I think that I've seen the one you're talking about because you sent it to me, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's the one taken out of an airplane.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got that one. We've had that up for quite a while.
No, it's a different one than on the airplane. And when
it's a different airplane?
Yeah, that night when you were talking about that, I jumped out of bed, got on the computer to look at it to see if it was the same one, and it wasn't. This one is awesome. I mean, when my wife showed it to me for the first time...
How can we know that it's not, I saw what you said, and it's so specific as to be almost unbelievable. You know, it's like whipped up by Photoshop. How do we know?
I can send you the picture, if you like.
Well, now you're cooking.
And actually, they lost...
But wait a minute, you said it's a picture of a picture.
Yeah, I can send... They lost the negative, but I could probably track down the people who have the actual Kodak photo.
All right, go to work on that, would you?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Go to work on that. And it's so good... with so many details that either it would have to be A, the real thing, B, a holographic imprint on the clouds, or C, a Photoshop Deluxe production. Getting the negative, now that'd be kind of interesting. for sure. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello, Art.
Yes, yes, that's me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Turn the radio down.
Yes, do
yes,
that.
Yes, Paul in Cutler Ridge, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I wanted to get in touch with Richard Hoagland when he was down here and ask him if he had been told about the Indian ruins down in Cutler Ridge, still south of Miami.
Well, as you well know, Richard Hoagland had a heart attack and open heart surgery, and he's in the hospital.
Right, and that same day, we had seen down by the beach with my daughter, and we had seen the contrails crisscrossing and leaving large grid patterns in the sky, and wanted to talk to Richard Hoagland again.
Well, if you'll just hang in there, Richard's in the hospital. He's not really up to it at the moment. William Thomas, the investigative journalist who brought the contrail story to us, is going to be here this Wednesday. So
on the show.
On the show.
Had you had any other reports from Miami from last Saturday about that?
I've got reports coming out my ears. I have hundreds of contrail photos.
On the leeward side, there seemed to be a pulsing going on as the plane was going and leaving a little puffing to get it started on its webbing path.
Well, and now listen to me.
They crisscrossed the same line.
Now listen to me. Go to my website. You do have a computer, yes?
Yes.
All right. Take a look at the contrail photo I put up of one taken right over Pahrump Valley here. It had the same little kind of O-puffs all the way around it. Damnedest thing you ever saw. Nobody here ever has seen anything like it. So I took my own photograph, 35 millimeter, scanned it, put it up there. Take a look at that.
I couldn't find a tourist. I was looking for a camera.
When you can't find a tourist in Miami, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's that on Key Biscayne, right over the water. So fortunately, it traveled. It stayed up there for hours, the pattern they made. It was a great
point. Well, you mean hours went by and you couldn't find a tourist?
No, after a while we...
Usually you can get an entire Japanese family coming by with cameras. No, huh?
Didn't have the fortune.
I see.
Also, if there's any chance that that Richard Hoagland needs some lodging down this way, that he's welcome to stay with myself or any other friends down here.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Are you aware that you were in the local free paper here?
No. What did they say about?
There was a picture of Richard Hoagland, and it was a story about him. They'd made mention of you and the archaeologist Bob Carr. They quoted
yes.
him as being kind of a disbeliever. They said they quoted him as saying Richard Hoagland is out to lunch.
Well, I don't think so.
Down here.
I don't think so, because the carbon testing on the circle.
Oh, he definitely is not out to lunch.
Not out to lunch at all.
I'm saying that's what the it's called the New Times. In fact, they
well, maybe the New Times had an old story.
Oh, it was. It was before he had gone into the hospital. It came out last Thursday.
This was before the carbon dating, huh?
It was right before the carbon dating. It was last Thursday. So.
Well, let's see if in the next issue they eat their words.
Oh, they'll be eating with key lime juice, yes.
All right, thank you. We're going to break here at the top of the hour, and when we come back, a really, really remarkable woman named Dr. Lorraine Day. She worked at one of the largest hospitals in San Francisco. Well, actually, her entire story is incredible, and I'll let her tell it. That's coming up next. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.